Today we want to move again back into our, in fact, we're getting close. I think we're going to be wrapping up this look at the Proverbs. And I really didn't want to make it a forever story about this book of Proverbs, but it is something for us to be engaged in. It's going to be about a month long all told once we're done with the series. And that was on purpose, to give us about a month plus a week to get people, if you want to begin reading along with, give you that opportunity. Because one of the challenges with the Proverbs, and you heard it with Scott and Sue, is that oftentimes as you're reading through a good bit of the book of Proverbs, it seems to jump around one theme to a next, to the next, to the next. And it doesn't seem to have any kind of flow or building. It's just simply a saying of wisdom. Again, something that is, just stating a fact, how the world is, a stating of how it ought to be, because this would be God's better intention than what is. Or maybe there's advice that is given, says this is how we can better live our lives through it. One of the things we see in the book of Proverbs, and I think I would be remiss if I didn't at least highlight this, because it is probably the most notable feature of the book of Proverbs, is that it's intended to be a manual for us of how God's wisdom begins to be applied into our lives. In the first place that it seems to be applied, at least in number, is in the course of how we do family. That's not surprising, because as you look at the Bible recognizes over and over again, you see that family plays a significant feature in all of it. Even as you go back into Genesis and look at all the stories, they're all rooted in the family dynamic. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's dysfunctional, but often, but almost always, it is rooted in this family as the basic building block for what society ought to be. And we see that over and over again. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you will note that that comes up over and over and over again. And so today, as we look into the message of the sermon today, we're going to be looking at some aspects of family life that the book of Proverbs begins to speak to. Now, I'm going to just offer to you one of the things that the Proverbs does do is that is written, a good bit of it is also written from the perspective of someone who is a bit older, sharing advice with those who are a bit younger. And so sometimes it talks about things that maybe you've already passed on through life. That, for example, we'll be looking at some things about how it is that we are to, what we are to look for in a spouse. That's a big piece of the book of Proverbs. Now, many of you are already married, and so I'm going to say you can ignore that. You're not looking for a spouse any longer, okay? So we'll just play with me on that, okay? That doesn't mean that we can't find things that we say that is something that I want to begin to apply, because being a good spouse is every bit as important as finding the right spouse. So we'll talk more about that in a bit. Anyway, okay, let's take a look. We're going to look at Proverbs 19. And again, you'll see this flow of how things kind of go with the Proverbs, that you'll see different themes popping up. This one has a lot of family themes running through it. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. The king's anger is like a lion's roar, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish child is a calamity to a father. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping. I don't want to begin to break this down yet, because that would be unfair. I'm just stating this just what it says. Okay. It is written by a man. I will say this, Val. Let me back it up 1 second here and say the book of Proverbs was accumulated and written by a man, and it was written by men for men, quite honestly. There are parts in here that do feature the wife. Whenever it's talking about a wayward child, it really says son, because it really is dealing more with the male here, because they were the ones who were educated enough to at least be able to read it and what have you and hear it. And it has to do with a little bit of a cultural bias. But so we'll take it both ways, because I think we can say that there's truth here that runs throughout. Where was I, Paul? Was I on the one where the wife who calls you out in the middle of the church? I was at drip, drip, drip. Okay, very good. Okay, that's where I thought I was. Okay. Whew, danger, danger, danger. Okay, verse 14. See how much fun the book of Proverbs is? Everyone says, boy, I don't want to read the Bible. It's so boring. Heck no. This is awesome stuff. Okay, fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife. Don't laugh too hard, Mary. Lazy people sleep soundly, but idleness leaves them hungry. Keep the commandments and keep your life. Despising them leads to death. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Discipline your children while there is hope. I guess we could yeah, I guess we could figure that. Where is that line where it turns from hope to no hope? It's always hope. Okay, I'm sure your kids would appreciate hearing that, Val. Discipline your children while there is hope, otherwise you will ruin their lives. Again, Proverbs, sayings of wisdom given to us. And you can see here there are various family relationships in this 19th proverb that touch on a lot of the family aspects that we all interact in the course of our family's lives. There's the father and son, there's the husband and wife, there is the part in there about the marriage relationship, there's the parental discipline of their kids, and then that's all mixed in with all these other things, you know, like the keeping your temper in check, which also helps in family life, the living a godly life, the acting with compassion and generosity to those less fortunate than you. These are all play into this, what it means for us to be whole, healthy people who are life-giving as well as life-receiving. And we see that coming through this book of Proverbs as we begin to look at it. So again, as I said earlier, that there's a lot here that has to do with what it means to be family. And so we're going to take a real quick survey of some of the things that speaks to when it comes to family. And in a sense, we could call this a game plan for a winning family as you look through some of the Proverbs here and highlight what that's about. We're going to start with this idea of being married. And actually, the book of Proverbs speaks more about how it is to choose a good partner than it is to what it means to be a good partner or how to live it out. So we'll have to extrapolate a little bit of this truth to bring it into our own family lives. This is a bit just as jumping off place. A worthy wife is her husband's joy and crown, but a shameful wife saps his strength. Okay, what I'm going to say about that is it's not, again, not to be a put down, because it is true that the partner that we choose is going to affect the rest of our life. Now, for those of you who've already chosen, Dorothy and Joe, how many years now?
67.
67, okay. I think you chose well. You did good. But there are some of us here, not myself, but there are some of us here who are not yet married. And so these next things are going to be especially for you. So Riley, check it out, okay? You're not in Sunday school anymore. It's time to start thinking about marriage. All right. So just want to keep it on the upload here. Okay, so here's some advice for you, Riley, and all other young guys. Yeah, I know, don't roll your eyes at me. Andrew, don't roll your eyes at me. This is some advice for the single guys in the house. When it talks about if this is maybe the most important decision that you will make, and I think there's a lot of amens in the room here, this is the most important decision in your life. It will affect you more than anything else, the partner you choose to be your life partner. Proverbs speaks to that. Speaking to the men, he says this, and we heard this already, fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife. What that means is that for each and every one of you who are still looking for that spouse for your life, there's no place better to start than here, praying about it. God, who would it be? I know it may not be the most important thing on your mind, who am I going to marry, but it should be. And it should be part of our prayer, because only God can do this. And it is God who wants to guide our steps, and so we need to bring the Lord into the midst of what it means for us. There's a couple more things he gives advice to men. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion, I love this one, is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Now, is that awesome? Is that imagery or what? Now, everyone wants a beautiful wife, guys. Yeah. And Alex, you found one. So it's awesome, okay? But it's not the most important thing. Physical beauty is not the most important thing, it says here. And again, this runs so counter to our culture. What does our culture say? Our culture says it's all about your looks. It's all about your appearance. You got to have this certain look, have this special appeal, and it's all about that. But what the Bible is reminding us here, Solomon, I don't know how good he was at this, but anyway, because I think he had a thing for the pretty ladies, but a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. So she may be pretty, like a gold ring, but it's in the nose of the snout, really kind of unnecessary. So the important thing is that she would have a sense of balance and wisdom and discretion, and that's what we should begin looking for. It's kind of the same theme. Charm is deceptive, beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And so while beauty is a nice thing, someone who has that humble heart that actually is looking to be one who pleases God would be a much higher value from the book of Proverbs for the young man who is thinking about who God might have for him to be a wife one day. There's a few others, and I'll let the guys do the reading on this. Talks about a woman of wisdom, how important that is. Again, diminishing the things that our culture says are important, beginning to elevate things that our culture would never think. But a woman who brings wisdom into the family, into the home, is someone that you should be pursuing. And the other one there, well, we'll go on. This is for all the single ladies. I'm going to move on because, you know what, we've been having some fun with the guys, and this is for the young gals. And for this, I went into Proverbs 12. I will read the Proverbs 12, and I'll tell you what it says. There's a few, again, jump around here. But it seems to be that for the gals, there are some things that you can be looking for your future as well. So, Heaven, I know you're out back there somewhere hiding from me. Amanda, I know. Yep. Gotcha. Michaela, okay, here, listen up. This is what you're looking for in a guy. I know you want him to have big guns. Yeah, you got to look good. You know, you want him to be tall, dark, and handsome and all the good stuff there. Kind of like who Brittany found, you know? Right, Ty? Yep, good, thank you. Okay, caught him. How about this? The godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. Verse 10, it says, check it out. If you want to find out what kind of a guy he is, see how he treats his animals. Have you thought about that, Deb? Is that true? It is true. Huh. And that's in the Bible. A little bit further on down in verse 14, it says, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. So, gals, look for a hard worker. Someone who's going to make sure there's plenty of food. That's a priority, especially in a culture like 3,000 years ago, even today. 15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So I know you want a guy who's like the captain of the football team and, you know, A honor roll and all those things, but maybe find a good listener. Maybe find someone who is teachable. That might be more important, at least according to Proverbs 12, it is. Verse 16 says that a fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. So you don't want someone who's quick-tempered. That's kind of a bad one there. And 18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So 18, I would say this. It says, find someone who doesn't put you down. Now, that seems like an obvious one, right? Because if you're hanging out with somebody and they seem to always put you down, you always feel somehow less when you're around them, that's probably not a person you want to be with for the long haul. But still, sometimes because of all the other things going on, hormones and looks and all the rest, we get all things confused. These become part of a better grid for us as we begin looking ahead and saying this stuff is important. Now, I want to go on and just do this last one, and this is that especially for those who are not yet married, don't rush through your singleness or don't feel somehow that you're impaired because you're not complete without a partner. Singleness is not something to rush through. It is better to wait on God's timing, and this is not just for the young. This is for the old who maybe find themselves in a new place. Don't rush through. You have to have a partner. Singleness is not to be rushed through. It's better to be single than to have a bad fit. There's a great verse here. I love this one. Maybe this is one of your favorites too. It is better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Now, again, I recognize this, and this is written from a very male perspective, but could you not say the same thing, that it would be better to live in the corner of an attic than to live with a quarrelsome husband? Absolutely. And so when you're going to talk about a life that is filled with conflict, the Proverbs tell us that, you know, it's better not do that. If you're walking into something, because you think you need to, you think you have to, you think it's time, maybe you think whatever the reasons are, you're doing this because you expect that maybe you've been together a while, so you have to go through and do this. No, it is better to be alone than to live in the midst of such conflict. You know, there's a lot here, and spend all day, but I don't want to take all day. What I want to say is that I remember a number of years ago, we went to a reunion that, it was a celebration, anniversary celebration for my family. My wife, Lori, and I were there. And something that stuck out, it was George and Alvina's. You remember that, Lori, I know you do. One of the things they said, they were celebrating their 50th anniversary. And one of the things they said was how important it was to find the right partner if you want to have a long, loving, and lasting marriage. But every bit as important, and maybe even more, was to be that right partner if you want to have a long and loving and lasting marriage. Now, we have a lot of folks in this church who could say amen to that because you've found that. But at the same time, for many of us, especially for our young, maybe they don't recognize some of that advice, and I want you guys to hear it. Again, for the youth, over and over and over again through the book of Proverbs, and I would challenge you guys to pull out your Bibles and read through the book of Proverbs as well. It's a great place to begin to find what God has to say for us. Of all the things that youth are told in the book of Proverbs, this is the number one. It is to listen. Yeah, and this is hard, isn't it? Especially to mom and dad. I'm going to just go out on a limb here. Every teenager in the room, is this a hard one? It's a hard one. Every young adult in the room, I wish my son Daniel was here. And he's 24. Please don't tell him I said that. He'll never come back to church again. Okay. But the wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction. Why? Why? Because parents know a little something. They don't know everything, but they know a little something. Young'uns, hear me. When you've got people who are saying they've had a little bit of life experience and they can see things that are going to lead to more trouble for you, you have two choices. You can listen or you can go into trouble. Listen. Proverbs says this over and over and over again, that the challenge for the young, and especially for the young boy, the young teenage male, is that it's hard for us to listen because we think we know it all. We think it's different now than it used to be. We think that my situation is completely unique to me. And so why should I listen to someone who doesn't know what's unique to me? And so we do our own mistakes. We learn the hard way. Proverbs says, you don't have to learn the hard way all the time. Sometimes we have to. That's just the way we learn. But it calls us wise when a child listens to their parents because the parents have something to say. Lastly, on the way of different relationships, I want to touch on this. There is also things it says for parents. And here's a great one. We heard this a little bit earlier today. To direct your children on the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Proverbs 22:6. This is a very popular verse because we like to hold on to it, and we actually twist it a bit. And when we twist it, it becomes something very dangerous. This is a great verse for people who are raising their kids while they're raising it. Patrick, this is a great verse for you, okay? You got little Olivia. She's going to school this week. Woohoo! You got another one on the way. Woohoo! This is awesome. To direct them on the path, the right path, to begin to live a life which honors God in their midst. So it's not just your words, but it's your pattern. It's how we begin to live a life, a Christian life before our kids, that becomes kind of the key piece. It says that when they are older, they will not leave it. It almost gives the idea that there's going to be a time when they will leave it, and maybe they'll come back. There's almost a little rebellion time worked into this phrase. But I want to say this is where we get it kind of twisted. Is we get this twisted when we think of this as a promise from God. Because the Proverbs are not laws that we have to fulfill, and they're not promises that God has to complete. Because sometimes we run into this, and especially for parents who have raised their kids and see their kids maybe have gone astray. And we say, hold on a second. I was told that if I trained up my kids in the way they should go, and I did, that when they're older, they will not depart from it. And they have. When that happens, only two options are left. One, that God is a liar. Or two, we failed. I want to back that up. For those who have raised kids and did the very best you could, not saying perfection because none of us are perfect, but for done the very best you could to raise them up, to live by example, to live by the word, to speak the word, and to share your faith with your kids in an authentic way that shows that you trust God, that you serve God, that you make worship a priority, that you make fellowship and community and service a priority. When you do these and you model that before your kids, you are doing what the word says we are to do. But it is about probability here. It's not about promise. They will likely return when they are old enough to make that choice for themselves. But to say that it's going to always happen, 1 + 1 = 2, is taking this and twisting it into something that it was never intended to be. But for the young families, for the Cohen family and those beautiful kids you've got, raise them up in the way you're doing it. Don't expect perfection of yourself, and don't hold that standard that this has got to be somehow perfection or else I am a loser. You know, this is where I think the enemy actually uses the scriptures against us. How many parents here, at some point, because of something their kid chose to do, felt that the kid had just revealed what a loser I as a parent am? Yeah. Yeah. No, you're just the ones in the front. You just can't see all the hands behind you. Okay? Yeah. And we take verses like this, and it seems to amplify that this is what it means, that somehow that we are failures and we have lost it. And sometimes then when we look at our adult kids, and maybe our kids are still in a difficult place, and we stress with that, and we say, if I failed, then I'm angry at myself. Maybe I'm angry at their choices, and their choices then make me angry at them. And then the kids pull farther and farther away because instead of feeling like we embrace them or love them, they feel somehow judged or put off by us because we're angry that their choices aren't lining up to make this verse true. If you've got adult children, this becomes, if you've got small children, this is your direction. To live your life in such a way that you raise your kids to make their own choice, and they should then have everything they need to stay on that path. If you've raised your kids and you're riddled with guilt because somehow it doesn't seem to be working quite like this says it should, then pray for your kids. Keep those lines of communication open. Don't feel judged. Don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let the enemy beat you down to where it causes resentment on your kids and their actions, where that then becomes seeds that grow and make this gap wider. Pray for your kids. Give God a chance to move now in areas that you are no longer able to move because you are no longer their authority. Pray for your kids that God's will be done in their life and continue to trust Him with the children we have been given. There's a couple other things in the book of Proverbs. Again, the idea of both words and actions, and you can see this all throughout the book of Proverbs. And the other thing it says about families is that families are called, and this is obvious, isn't it? Families are called to love with structure and discipline. It's part of what it means to be a family. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you see this over and over again. There are 25 direct verses about how we are to parent. And almost all of them come into this idea of godly training or love with discipline as a combination that needs to be a part of what we do. But again, that's not for those who have raised their kids. This is for those who are raising children today. The idea that somehow that love and discipline can be a part of setting them on the course that leads them on this life to where they can choose to fulfill that promise by trusting in Christ and living their lives as you have patterned for them by the word as it's written to us. Now, family is such a key thing for us, we often overlook it, but if you are reading along with us here for these 30 days, you're seeing it over and over again. This is the wisdom that God desires for us to have and to hold, to be healthy, but also to be healthy in the way we're able to release them into God's care. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the hope we have. I thank you for the direction that it gives us and even the inspiration that we, with your help, can raise our kids, can love our spouse, can choose one spouse that would be a blessing to us, that we might be a blessing to. Father, for every aspect of our lives, both those that are coming down the line in the future, those that we find ourselves in the midst of, the relationship between parents and children, the relationship between husband and wife, the relationship that we have with one another, God, I pray that you would help us to find your path and to honor you in the way that we honor others. So bless this time, God. I pray you would set us free from the guilt and from the condemnation that often comes in these relationships because our relationships aren't perfect and the children we have aren't perfect and the parents we have aren't perfect. God, free us from that sense of guilt that somehow it's our responsibility and trust you as we begin to make the right steps and live the life you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.